Today, we will be looking at an old topic. The topic is forgiveness. Many of us will probably be able to quickly recite what the Bible says about forgiveness, that we have been forgiven and that we are supposed to forgive one another. But at the same time, I can also say, over the years that I've been part of SEF here, too many people say that they are not able to forgive for various reasons. So today, I want to look at questions like, what does the Bible say about forgiveness? Do we have to forgive others, or is it optional? Do we have to forgive some sins, but not others? And how can we forgive others? What can we do to be able to forgive? Is it a choice? Is it a feeling? Or is it an ability? Now, as I was preparing for today, I really wanted to talk about the whole chapter of Matthew 18, but I realized that I won't be able to go into all the details. So what I want to encourage you is just read this whole chapter, Matthew 18, by yourself, maybe tonight or tomorrow in your quiet time, and just see the context of this parable. But here this afternoon, we're going to pick up the story in verse 21 when Peter asks a very famous question. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't count. Jesus expects us to offer unlimited forgiveness to one another. That obviously leads to a few questions. How on earth can we do that? How can it be possible for us to forgive one another? Maybe people treat us really badly and do horrible things to us. How can we forgive unconditionally, without limit, over and over again? So Jesus gives us the answer by telling us the parable of the forgiving Father. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun the reckoning, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he had nothing to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you back. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was angry, delivered him to the jailers till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So what's going on here? Well, there is a master, a king, who has servants, and one was brought to him who owes him 10,000 talents. Now, I did a bit of research on this number. If you compare this number to the value of gold at the time and compare how much that would be today, this servant owed his master around 16 billion US dollars. That's a pretty big debt. It's huge. It's unpayable. So let's translate this aspect of the parable into our lives today. The financial debt that this servant had to his master is a symbol of our spiritual debt towards God. It represents our sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all know that we have done stuff that is wrong. Most of us would, especially as Christians, we would easily be able to identify, yeah, I've been dishonest here and I've been cheating that person. And we don't really make a big deal out of that. But what many Christians don't realize is that we have an unpayable debt towards God. We don't realize how far we fall short of God's standard. And because we don't really realize how great our debt is towards God, we miss out on an essential part of his character, an essential part of his heart. We miss out on the need for his forgiveness. Psalm 130 verse 4 says, "But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." Quick question. When was the last time God's forgiveness caused us to fear, caused us to tremble? If that has never happened, it's possible that we don't take sin as seriously as we should. And if we don't take sin seriously, we don't really see the need for forgiveness. And if we don't see the need for forgiveness, we don't really see a need for God. And we settle on a shallow relationship with God. We think that we are a good person. We think that our sin doesn't really matter. Now, please get me right. I completely believe in mercy. I absolutely believe that Jesus died for all our sins. But we can only fully understand mercy if we understand how great our debt is, how far we have fallen short of God's standards. Luke 7, Jesus tells us another parable. He says there was a certain creditor, and he had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence, the other one 50. Neither of them was able to repay him, so he released them both. Which one will love him more? Now we all know the answer is the one with the greater debt. Now, I don't believe that the point of that parable was that Jesus was saying, if you have really screwed up your life and committed a lot of sin, then you will love God more. I believe what he means is those who acknowledge how great their debt is towards God, those will love him more. And those who think of themselves as relatively good, their love with God will not go that deep. Do we want to go deeper with God, love him more, becoming more like Christ, deepen our walk with him? I believe one of the keys to achieve that in the body of Christ today is to acknowledge how much we owe God, to acknowledge how far we have fallen short of his standards. Quick reality check for all of us. Do we all acknowledge that we have an unpayable debt towards God? Or do we think we are relatively good? Others have a greater need for forgiveness than we do. How do we individually answer this question? How do we as a community answer this question? It will influence every single aspect of our lives. And there is a penalty for our sin. Verse 25, since he had nothing to pay, kind of obvious if you have a debt of $16 billion, since he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The debt matters. What this king commands to do to his servant is the right thing. That's what he deserves. And the right thing for God to do with you and with me is to lock us up in hell for eternity. That's what we deserve for our sin. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. So back to the parable. This servant is brought to reality. The king confronts him with the debt and the penalty. Now what does the servant do? He says, "The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.'" Now, do you want to know how long it takes to earn $16 billion with the standard wages? Around 200,000 years. And that's just to earn the amount, let alone live. This servant does not see reality. He doesn't realize that he will never be able to repay the debt. But he still thinks that he can come up with the resources by himself. Now look, let's look at the king's heart. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Isn't that amazing? the master forgives an unpayable debt for only one reason. He has compassion on his servant. He loves him. That's God's heart for you and for me. God isn't a legalist. He doesn't stand behind us waiting for us to make a mistake and then to punish us and throw us in prison. That's not what he wants to do. His desire is to release us of our debt. But there is a part for us to play. We need to acknowledge our sin. We need to acknowledge that we are in debt to God. So the servant is forgiven, but the story isn't finished yet. There's a problem coming up. The servant meets another servant who owes him 100 pence. Translating that into today's economy, it's probably around 20 US dollars. It's absolutely nothing compared to the debt that he himself was forgiven. So let's read on, verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Note that it says he would not. It doesn't say he could not. It was a choice that this servant made. Here's one of the answers to the questions that I raised in the beginning. Forgiveness is not a matter of ability. Forgiveness is a matter of choice. It's a choice that you and I can make. No matter who you are, and no matter what people might have done to you, it is possible that some of you sit here and think like, what people have done to me is so horrible, it's impossible to forgive. No, it's not. It's a choice that all of us can make. So after being forgiven this huge amount, the servant refused to forgive his fellow servant an absolutely insignificant amount that doesn't matter. Now that catches the attention of the king again. Verse 32, then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "Oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" And his lord was angry, delivered him to the jailers, till he should pay all that was due unto him. First, the servant was forgiven. But after mistreating his fellow servant, his own debt was brought back to the table. The king's response obviously raises a few questions. First question, what was this king's ultimate goal? Because it was obviously not to forgive his servant. Because if it had been, then he wouldn't have brought it back up. So what is it? I believe the king's ultimate goal is a transformation of the servant's heart. Remember what he said? "Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you?" The master has shown extravagant forgiveness to his servant. He paid an incredible debt by himself, simply because the servant asked him. But the servant was not grateful. His heart was not changed. His attitudes towards other people wasn't changed. His heart was not aligned with the master's heart, and he remained selfish. And as a result of his ungratefulness, the master brings back his own debt and throws him in prison after all. So what does that mean for us? What is God's ultimate goal for you and for me? I believe his ultimate goal is not simply to forgive us of our sins. That's only something he had to do to achieve the ultimate goal. His ultimate goal is spending now and eternity in a love relationship with you and with me. He paid the price when Jesus lived, died, and rose again from the dead. But now we have a choice to make how we respond to this offer. Here's another reality check. What's our response to the incredible forgiveness that Jesus has shown us on the cross? Have our hearts been transformed? Are we grateful? Do we see other people the way God sees them? Does our heart align with God's heart? Do we have compassion on one another as Christ has compassion on us? Or are we very quick to judge other people for their shortcomings and hold them accountable to what is right and what is wrong? Are we like this unforgiving servant? Or have we wholeheartedly received forgiveness and been changed by it? I believe the answer to this question is critical to our walk with God. Another question we need to ask ourselves, where on earth do we get our resources from? This servant has just been forgiven $16 billion. And he didn't have to do anything about it. He only had to ask. He didn't have to give any promise to his master. There was no probation. There was no warning. All he had to do was simply asking. Now, did the servant still have needs after that day? Sure, he had. All of us need resources every single day. We have our bills to pay. We have to get food on the table, all these things. So yes, he still needed money. But his problem was he tried to get an absolutely insignificant amount from his fellow servant. His servant couldn't provide for his needs. That's why he threw him into prison, which in turn caused him to end up in prison as well. What should he have done instead? I personally believe he would have gotten anything he asked for from the master. If he was just forgiven $16 billion, such an incredible love that the master shows to him, I believe he could have come to the master at any time and say, "Master, I don't have enough money to provide for my family. Can I have some more? Master, I need to pay my rent. Can you please provide for me?" Now, we don't know exactly why the servant didn't go back to the master. Could be shame, guilt, pride. But he obviously didn't realize that the master has endless resources. And he could have had those resources, and the master would have shared those resources with him at any time. But he didn't. He would rather turn to his fellow servant, and even to the point where he throws him into prison. Quick reality check for us. Who or what do we rely on to get what we need? Do we rely on other people? It will never satisfy. Other people will never be able to meet all our needs. And we even risk that God will be angry with us as well. Because God gave everything he had, his one and only son, so that we could have life. So if we don't trust him to provide for our little needs, finances, and important as that is, and housing, that's all important. But compared to what he has already given us on the cross, it's absolutely nothing. It might mean that we don't really trust him. But if we truly trust God, we will say, "God, you will provide whatever I need, because you have endless resources." And sometimes he will, or very often he will provide through other people. But we may never put our trust in other people. We need to put our trust in God himself. So in this story, there are obviously two standards. One is the standard of the law. And according to the law, the king had every right to throw his servant into jail. But what he did was he chose to pay the penalty himself, free the servant according to the law of his heart, because he loves the servant. However, the problem is that this servant then treats his fellow servant according to the law, according to what is right and what is wrong. He does not treat him according to the heart. And then the master says, If you treat your fellow servant strictly according to what is right and what is wrong, I'm going to treat you the same. And he brings back the debt. What does that mean for us? Well, it does mean that according to the law, God has every right to throw us into hell. But he paid the price already. Our debt is paid when Jesus died on the cross for us. We are free. However, you and I now have a choice to make. If we treat one another according to the law, strictly according to what is right and what is wrong, if we refuse to show forgiveness and compassion to one another, then in the end, God will say, I'm going to treat you the same. I'm going to bring back the debt that we all have because of our sin. However, if we treat each other according to God's heart, he will judge us according to his heart as well. That's what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 7, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. Do we judge each other according strictly to what is right and wrong? Or do we judge each other according to God's heart, a heart of love and compassion and forgiveness? God's desire for us is to forgive others in the way that you and I have been forgiven, unconditionally, unlimited, extravagant forgiveness, like the forgiveness that Jesus showed on the cross. Can we do that by ourselves? No, we can't. We are human, and we do not have resources to forgive one another. But it's when we receive and experience God's forgiveness ourselves, that's when we will also receive the ability and the resources to forgive others. Now, I know many people have a bit of a misunderstanding of what is forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness does not mean that we need to forget the offense. The term forgive and forget is absolutely not what the Bible teaches. Forgiveness also does not mean that we need to deny the offense. I personally believe that part of forgiving is to fully acknowledge what has happened and the consequences of what people did to us. Thirdly, forgiveness also does not mean that we have to expose ourselves or others to danger. Until a person shows repentance, you can show forgiveness to that person, but still protect yourself. Forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation, because reconciliation is something that has to happen on both sides. But you can forgive a person, and if the other person doesn't repent, then you have done your part, but that does not necessarily mean that there is reconciliation. So what is forgiveness then? Well, it basically comes down to this: letting go of our right to revenge. Yes, we have the right to revenge, but God wants us to let go of this right and simply to say, well, I acknowledge that this person hurt me, that this person offended me, but I choose not to punish you back. I choose not to ask you to make up for it. I simply let you go with the resources that God has given me, because I have been forgiven far more than what other people could ever do to me. We simply treat others the way God treats us. We forgive with the resources that we have received when God has forgiven us. So, what are some typical signs of unforgiveness? How can we examine ourselves, whether we need to forgive somebody? Well, there are some signs. Some people show that they haven't forgiven by running away. They don't want to face the situation. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to meet that person again. They are simply disappearing. If that is you, then there's a good chance that you haven't forgiven yet. Revenge. If we have a strong desire in us to punish the other person, to pay back, if we have evil thoughts towards that person in our minds, then chances are good that we haven't forgiven yet. Denial. If we say something like, well, it wasn't really bad, that person didn't really do anything wrong, that's denial. And then we might not have forgiven yet. A lot of people have emotional reactions. They try to avoid the memory, they try to avoid the situation, and then something brings back the memory. Maybe they meet the other person, or they come in a similar situation, and suddenly they start being emotional. They come to the same place where something has happened, and then suddenly they don't want to be there. They meet a person who was involved in the situation, and they start getting restless. These are all potential signs that we still haven't fully forgiven that person yet. And the result of unforgiveness can be quite serious. Not only our emotional life, but also our physical bodies can suffer severely under unforgiveness. Now, I know forgiving can be extremely difficult. Over the years, I talked with many people here who have faced something like physical or sexual abuse, a cheating spouse, parents mistreating them in their childhood, abandonment, betrayal. So I do realize forgiving can be extremely difficult for some of us. But no matter what you have been through, forgiveness is a choice that God expects us to make. Not on our own resources, we don't have them, but on the resources that God has given us when we have been forgiven. Our intention of not forgiving is to hurt the other person, to pay them back. But actually, the opposite is true. We harm ourselves. We put ourselves in prison. Jesus closed the parable by saying this, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Forgiveness that Jesus expects from us is a forgiveness that happens in our hearts. So if we choose to forgive others, we will not only let the other person go, actually, we set ourselves free. I personally experienced the consequences of choosing to not forgive and choosing to forgive in my own life. Before I was a Christian, my relationship with my parents was pretty bad. Now, please get me right, my parents are not bad parents. I made bad choices. Because the things that they did well, I took them for granted, and I always zoomed in and narrowed in on the things that didn't go well, and I blamed them for everything that didn't go my way. So when I was 20, I moved out from my parents' place. I thought, I'm finally free, didn't want to have much to do with them any longer. And actually, to be perfectly honest, part of my motivation of coming to China in 2004 was because I wanted to be away from my parents, because I didn't want to have them in my life at all. But as a result of all this, I realized something happened. I started displaying exactly the characteristics that I so hated in my parents. I became like them. I became like the things that I hated that they did to me. And I've seen many examples like that. People make a bad experience and they choose not to forgive. And as a result, their own lives get affected. Their parents were unfaithful to them. 25 years later, they are unfaithful to their friends and their own family. They had a harsh father, never forgave their father. 25 years later, they treat their own children exactly the same way, and they hate themselves for doing that. Their parents never showed them love. 25 years later, they are unable to show love to their friends and family. As Anselm Grün put it, he's a German monk and author, he simply said, "Wounds that haven't healed, you pass on." And it's so true. If someone hurts me, and I choose not to forgive that person, it's only a matter of time until I treat someone the same way, and I pass on the wound that I have received. Unforgiveness puts ourselves in prison. And many people are caught in this so-called generational curse. Their parents do something bad to them, they don't forgive, and as a result, they inherit it. When they have their own family, they pass it on to their children, they don't deal with it. 25 years later, they pass it on to the next generation. So many families are caught in this generational curse. After becoming a Christian, I realized Jesus has a better way for us. His way is forgiveness. And so, I made a very painful choice. It wasn't easy, but I knew it was the right thing to do. I said, I'm going to stop running away. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to face the things that happened in my childhood. And I choose to forgive my parents for what has happened. Now, that was quite challenging, but it was so liberating. Because throughout time, I realized that I was finally able to leave my old life behind and become a new person in Christ. My life was transformed, and throughout time, I finally became free from all the things that still had a hold on my life. And a bonus on all that, my relationship with my parents got restored, and I'm so thankful for that, because last November my mother passed away, and I'm so thankful that we experienced that restoration before it was too late. I was able to forgive for two reasons. First of all, I was able to receive God's forgiveness myself. And by receiving God's forgiveness, I also received the resources to forgive others. And then secondly, I made a choice, wanting to forgive. And I went to God and said, God, I cannot do this by myself, but I know you can help me. Teach me how to forgive. And as a result, I am now free to live a new life in Christ. Paul put it this way, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May we pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for paying the price for us. When Jesus, you went to the cross, you died and you rose again, our debt was paid. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand that mercy that you have shown us on that day. How great our debt is, and how great your forgiveness is towards us, so that we can have life today. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us as we receive your forgiveness. You will enable us to forgive one another as well. Family, friend, maybe even strangers, colleagues, people who have hurt us, Lord. That we will not put ourselves in prison by not forgiving, but Lord, you will teach us how to set ourselves free by choosing to forgive. We love you, Lord. Now, there might be people here today who might say, yes, I want to forgive, but I've never received forgiveness. I've never received Jesus into my life. And maybe today is the day for you, and if that is you, I just want to encourage you to maybe pray this very simple prayer after me. You can pray it out loud or in your heart, whatever you feel comfortable. But if you say today, yes, I want to become a Christian, I want to receive the resources from God to forgive others, then simply start that relationship with God today. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done that are wrong. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I now receive and accept this gift. And I ask you that you will show me that I am forgiven and give me the resources to forgive others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to receive prayer, our prayer team is going to be here. Maybe you have someone that you need to forgive in your life. and you want to talk with someone about that or pray over that with someone. Or maybe you really are not a Christian and today is the day when you would like to make that decision. If that is you, I want to encourage you. Come to the front. Our prayer team is going to be here and they're willing to spend a long time with you to just talk and pray with you. And while we do that, I would like to invite the worship team to lead us in a closing song.